genre.
Back to The Doctor's Companion presents Doctor Who The Long Way Round, the weekly podcast where we review and discuss every episode of Doctor Who, one doctor at a time. I'm Cass Fredrickson.
I'm a younger 10-year-old version of Nick Jimenez, I am.
and I'm Scott Carelli.
Oh my god. Okay, so today on the show, we'll be discussing The Time of the Daleks. The Eighth Doctor's 10th story.
Yeah. So, Time of the Daleks. This is, of course, an Eighth Doctor Big Finish audio release. This is the 32nd release in the main range, which was like a, you know, had like a monthly release schedule. Released in May of 2002, written by Justin Richards. I believe this will be the last thing we ever like listen to that's written by him, because he writes a lot for Big Finish, but he writes like weird spinoff stuff mostly, like Bernice Summerfield, and like I think he wrote some River Song stuff and, you know, things like that. He very rarely writes, at like actual main feed Doctor Who. Oh, and he did like some Gallifrey thing, Gallifrey series. That's all about Gallifrey politics. Yeah. So, yeah. But then this is directed by, Mr. Dalek himself, Nicholas Briggs. And the, I guess the notable thing about Time of the Daleks, this is, technically speaking, part four of a very sort of loose four-part story called Dalek Empire, which would then spin off into its own series, in which the Daleks were like kind of the main character of their own series. It ran for four seasons.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And essentially what this is the four parts were fifth doctor, sixth doctor, seventh doctor, and eighth doctor story. The concept behind it was like Big Finish got the rights to the Daleks, so we should make each doctor in our main range fight the Daleks and then give the Daleks their own series. And so that's what they did. So yeah, loose, it's loose. There's a couple of references in this that, if you heard them, you might just be like, what are they talking about? And it's just like one of the other stories.
Oh, nice.
So, you know, like the Daleks, what is that thing called? That they have.
Oh, wait,
that
shit, they're like, shit. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
It was the.
It's like, I know they shortened it to TED, right?
Oh,
TED.
Never mind. I was thinking of the stabilizer.
Temporal something. Detonator.
Detonator, yeah, whatever.
Something.
So
yeah.
That they get that in one of the other stories, and then they invade Gallifrey in one of the other stories.
I caught that reference. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of loose, and to be perfectly honest, if it wasn't for the fact that this had been set up already, in the episodes that we had listened to and is tied into Charlie's arc, and all of that stuff. 'Cause you get the end of this where they sort of like are like, shit's going down. Get ready. Charlie's special. if it wasn't for that stuff, I probably would have skipped this one. 'Cause it, you know, it's not like, I don't know. I don't think it's the best story.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. So they get the rights to the Daleks at Big Finish. Nicholas Briggs is like, mine. I'm going to take control of this stuff. And they're like, all right, go for it. What he was originally editing the show on, the Big Finish show, which is, I just think is really funny because I'm like, that's not that far away from what I do with Geek by Night, which is he is directing it. He's also doing all of the sound editing. There is no team. It's just him, you know, getting the sound effects and putting them together and editing them all together, mm-hmm. And whatever. But originally, he had a 9-track analog, like, recording, editing thing. That he was using that was literally like he would record the sound effects onto it and, you know, track by track in an analog way. Well, anyway, it broke. And so he was forced to upgrade to Pro Tools with this story. and so they went digital after that, which is just I find that very funny. So that's kind of what this is notable for.
Did you did you for a second? Because I imagine, like, God, imagine trying to do what you do with Geek by Night with that technology, that method.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought about it. And I stopped thinking about it because that sounds like a nightmare. but in any event, he upgraded to Pro Tools, taught himself how to use it. And that's what they've been using ever since. But yeah, that's it. That's basically the notable thing. They upgraded their editing stuff and they got the rights to the Daleks and decided to go all in on Daleks for a little while. So the time of the Daleks, this is basically what if yesterday was about Shakespeare instead of the Beatles? the Daleks, they use a thing to blow up a time thing that has something to do with Shakespeare existence, and as a result, Shakespeare no longer exists. There's a really sweaty conversation where, right after it happens, the Eighth Doctor brings up Shakespeare, you know, very naturally. and Charlie is like, who the hell are you talking about, you moron? I know all of the great authors, and just starts listing all these off. I've never heard of Shakespeare. And the Eighth Doctor is just like, all right, something weird's happening.
It's like, you know who Chaucer is, but is it, you know who William Shakespeare is? And Charlie's like, yeah. Everyone knows who Chaucer is.
And so what follows is an adventure in which the Eighth Doctor basically and Charlie, they go to this future where this lady is in control of the European Empire or something. And she remembers Shakespeare and she's working with the Daleks to bring Shakespeare back. She's like obsessed with Shakespeare, but she's only one of like 12 people who remember. And then over the course of the story, all of them start to forget as well. And then, you know, the timeline saved because of, somebody saved Shakespeare as a boy and put him to work in a kitchen. that's it. There's portals and mirrors. There's like time portals and mirrors.
Yeah.
It's very, I will say, I think that if this was a visual episode, it would be really cool, I would imagine. But as an audio project, I just don't think it works at all because half of the time I'm like, I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
It is baffling. Really, really poorly done. Sorry, Nicholas Briggs. I don't know if I should blame you or if I should blame the writer, but one of you guys were not making this for an audio medium, and I don't know which of you it was. What did you guys think of this one?
I don't know. I feel like both parties are to blame. Because like a lot of the dialogue is super, super clunky. But there is like a line that genuinely like made me laugh aloud, and it was like, I think it's episode 4 where the Daleks are bullying the Doctor and he's just like, not now, I'm busy thwarting your plan or whatever. Like So it's kind of like all over the place. I think it's like super ambitious, but like the time loop thing doesn't really work for me. Mm-hmm. 'Cause there's a time loop thing. And the, I know time travel doesn't exist, but like the weird like time travel pseudoscience stuff was like, it felt like weirdly steampunky, but like in this like weird dystopian future. It was weird. It's weird that we had two Dalek time loop episodes this season.
That's true. There's a few reoccurring motifs in this episode that are interesting that we'll talk about. I was kind of picturing like a V for Vendetta kind of world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That level of like dystopia, like I think it's referred to as like they're living under martial law and mm-hmm. there's a rebellion kind of brewing under the, I'm comforted to hear that both of you found this confusing to listen to, because I did as well. And, and I was just like, oh, am I just out of focus, or, you know, is there a discipline of listening to these, you know? But then I'm like, well, I've been listening to Geek by Night a lot, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But then again, I wrote that.
I will be perfectly honest. I think sometimes the Big Finish producers, I think that their ambitious eyes become too large for their practicalities of audio stomachs.
And as we get into episode 3 and 4, especially, it devolves into just like gunfights in hallways, and that is just not, it's just noise. There's no music or rhythm to it. And then like you would just, I thought so many people died like 3 times in this.
Yeah. I also had trouble. All of the characters kind of were the same to me. I had trouble like telling them apart and knowing like who was who or why. Mm. I don't know. And also for an episode where the Daleks are like, yeah, Shakespeare rocks, there is not enough Daleks quoting Shakespeare. There should be like this should be such a fun episode. And it's just not.
Yeah.
And I don't understand how you make a Dalek episode about them quoting Shakespeare and not make it the most fun thing we've ever heard.
Yeah.
It's infuriating.
To the point where I was listening and I thought part 3 was part 4. So then like it ended. I was like, this is a really weird spot to like end this. And I looked at my phone and I was like, oh my God, there's like 30 minutes left.
Yeah.
And I was just like checked out. It's unfortunate because I think some of the concepts are really interesting. But like, I don't know what the Daleks' plan is. Mm-mm. I don't think that's communicated well. Like they're doing a time thing to go into the vortex or something.
So yeah, I gather, right off the bat, Scott, you listed just coincidentally two of the few things I thought were pretty cool in this episode earlier, which is, as I alluded to, there's a really fun twist. There's this like little boy that they just treated like a house elf this whole story. Just they'll be like, this shithead, you know, hey, dummy, you know, go get the bucket, you know. He's off screen, so to speak, and characters are like, that kid is so dumb. And we learn by the end of the episode that kid is William Shakespeare. And one of the characters, I think it was Mariah, Aunt Mariah, like hid him away. The one who's obsessed with Shakespeare, like kept him safe under our very noses as a serf.
The one who gets turned into a Dalek in one of the most horrifying sequences.
Yes!
I thought the one that steals him is the niece. Because she's
right.
Like trying to, I don't know.
Okay.
You're both right. Because I think you're right, Cass. That is the character that hid Will away. But Scott, you are right. Mariah has that really chilling transformation scene where they like radiate her corpse and shove it into a Dalek. And
you hear the other Dalek die.
At any time we are able to be reminded of the grotesquerie that is Dalek existence, I appreciate that as much as I love my goofy little Muppets.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, truly like Cronenbergian in its execution.
Yes.
Yeah. Of like body horror.
Oh, so
like horrifying.
The other thing that I found pretty cool is like the sort of almost like pre-Wellian time travel that these characters are able to construct, which is like a bunch of mirrors and clocks hanging on the walls. And
but then it's funny because the reveal being that like the doctor's just like, yeah, none of this shit actually works. It's because of the Daleks doing their dumb bullshit earlier and residual something or whatever. It like made it work for a little while, but it wasn't actually, you know.
So yeah,
you guys are surfing a different wave that you're not in control of.
It's a bit of a letdown, but so it's referred to as a time wave. And so what they're doing is they're placing themselves into all aspects of history to where it is like humanity has always been enslaved by the Daleks. They even go to, I think we go to Rome, right? At one point here.
Yeah.
That's funny.
I think so.
And it almost felt like Shakespeare was just like a weird side effect that the Daleks hadn't planned on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And that's why the episode's called Time of the Daleks, is because they're attempting to completely like control all of human history and rewrite it in their image.
Yeah.
Right. Have you guys listened to any other part of this arc, this event?
No.
Dalek,
I've heard, that's not true. I think I've listened to the Sixth Doctor Evelyn story, but it's not very good. And we will not be re-listening to it when we get to it. We're just going to be skipping that one.
Okay.
So yes, but I barely remember it, other than the fact that I thought it was boring and not good. But I just think in general, I think that Big Finish gets, they get some new blood in like a few years, who are better at designing audio stories. And I think everything just kind of gets a lot stronger as a result. And right now they're in a place where their ambition is not matching their execution, where they're trying to write TV stories and you can't do that.
Right.
When you have no visuals, it's confusing.
I will say that like every time we were on like the Dalek ship and the Emperor Dalek was talking and there was like that background hum, it's like the exact same noise that they use in like new Doctor Who every time they're on a Dalek ship. And it was like weirdly comforting, like hearing that and like the Nicholas Briggs Dalek's voice. So that made it better. I don't know.
I love the Emperor's voice. He sounded like that one kind of more rotund Skeksis from the Dark Crystal.
Yeah. He's just like a big chunky Dalek.
Yeah.
There's also parts of this that I think suffer from repetition because it feels so close to Chimes at Midnight, which is vastly superior in every way.
So much better. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it just that also doesn't do this story any favors, I think, where it's like, oh, we're in a house and in a kitchen, there's a boy. Also, there's a time loop thing that's happening. And it's like, I don't know. It has enough in common with it where I'm like, I feel like this whole thing was a little bit of a mistake. But, you know, they did. I will say, though, the fact that like Shakespeare, people don't remember Shakespeare, has been a season long like Mavity
thing. Oh, really?
That I don't know if you guys have noticed over the course of the Eighth Doctor stories.
No,
we've listened to.
Not at all.
Nobody knows who Shakespeare is.
Wow.
And like the Eighth Doctor keeps making reference to Shakespeare and they're just like, oh, what's that from? And then they just like kind of move on. So
it's the bad wolf.
That's really. That's the reason why I was like, well, we can't skip this. But
that's so funny because like in the opening conversation with the Doctor and Charlie, and he makes the reference and Charlie's like, oh, is that from something? And he's just like, wait a minute. Like, you don't know who Shakespeare is? I feel like I would have known this about you by now. So it's weird that it's coming up like 10 stories after he like finds her. you know?
Right.
Yeah. Now it's a thing he hasn't been noticing all season.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the problem, right? Is that he's not noticing it. Versus like the Mavity situation, which is like, oh, he doesn't, the doctor also doesn't remember that it's called gravity, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. That's like part of the gag.
Right.
Whereas this was like, there was that, the War of the Worlds one that we listened to that had Orson Welles in it. And he makes reference to, Shakespeare at one point, and Orson Welles doesn't know who that is.
Mm.
And, you know, you're like, well, wait a minute. Orson Welles has been in, like, so many Shakespeare things. He directed so many of the plays and was in a few adaptations. Like, he definitely knows who that is. But it's just sort of, like, tossed away in a way that, like, doesn't call enough attention to itself to not just feel like, do you guys not know that Orson Welles was in a lot of Shakespeare stuff?
Right.
You know? Yeah. So... I don't know. The whole thing was not executed very well, but yeah, they're trying. They're trying something. You know, this is such early days for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting. Cause I mean, you know, we'll be talking about the finale to series 5 here in a few weeks. And
yeah,
that is sort of like a symphony of like, oh wait. Yeah. I guess that's why that happened. And that's why this happened, you know, like, even compared to Bad Wolf, which is really fun at the time. You know, I remember like feeling all those pieces click. It could be really sad. It could be a really satisfying experience. So it makes sense that they went for that. But yeah, it's something that almost kind of makes this episode, because in the context I watched it in, it was something he had just now noticed.
Right.
And
right.
And it's like, wait a second. That's fucking weird. You don't know who Shakespeare is? You're British.
Yeah, because he literally says right. Like, oh, this is a thing I'm just now noticing. It's like, no, you're the doctor. You should have been noticing this from like day one.
Right.
And like, yeah, the doctor move is he's been working on this the whole time without telling us, the audience, you know?
Right.
And like, he's already cracked the case or something. You know, you always kind of want him to be like a step ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but I also just think the hyper fixation on Shakespeare, based on the story that they're trying to tell here, which is, you know, that I don't know. I don't know what the Shakespeare thing was, an accident, right? It wasn't like done on purpose.
No, I think because like the dictator, like the fascist lady, she's like obsessed with Shakespeare, but she's like elitist about it. So like she wants to be the only one who knows what's like. So that's like part of her deal with the Daleks or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's why like she agrees to help them.
I wrote in my she's like the Batman villain of like gatekeeping.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. 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 So she's trying to gatekeep Shakespeare, whereas like I think that's stupid. And that character shouldn't exist in this story at all, because she doesn't serve a purpose. And instead, this should be about the Daleks going through history and deleting all of like Earth culture, like the arts, as a way of conquering us. Like to be like, no, you, all of your we own all of your creativity now. You've lost all of that. You're just these like empty husks of humanity, and we own you all. And so over the course of the season, if you just start people making reference to like, oh, I don't know what Shakespeare is. Wait, like Charles Dickens.
Well, it looks like we've woken up in Margaritaville again, Charlie.
What? Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, just like the idea that is their plan was like, that is how they're conquering humanity, is by deleting the arts.
Mm.
And it could be like a really cool, reference to the fact that like, that is what Republicans, conservatives do.
I was going to say, yeah, I was going to, or even liberal. I mean, Nazis, like not like Nazis did. That.
Yeah.
And like the Daleks have always been like an analog for like the Nazis, so that just feels very clean to me.
Well, I feel like I actually understand where they're coming from with this, because like I think the comparison to V for Vendetta is really apt, because like you know, like they're living in like New Britain or whatever, and like they are like very proud of like their British heritage and their culture and what have you, and like using like cherry picking the arts as like a weapon or like a means of controlling, you know, is like like that's also explored in V for Vendetta. So like, so this lady's like fixation on like arguably the most influential like English person to ever exist, like Shakespeare, like, and then like, but also feeling like it's too good for like the common people, like the people that she's ruling or whatever, like that makes sense to me, but I feel like it just gets really muddled with all of the timey-wimey Dalek stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I guess I just feel like it should be one or the other, not
yeah,
both.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, yeah, there's interesting kernels in here, like the Daleks eradicating culture as a means of warfare. That's really fascinating. But like,
yeah,
Shakespeare, that's kind of that. But then also, like we mentioned earlier, Scott, like I too wish there were more Daleks quoting Shakespeare. But like to play the premise all the way and really have fun with it, it'd be really cool if they, for some weird timey wimey reason, they almost saw Shakespeare as a deity. Or like,
yeah,
like the way Klingons view Shakespeare, and it almost like impacts
Shakespeare.
Yeah. The Shakespeare, and like they craft like a Shakespearean plot against the Doctor. That's
yeah,
different than their usual. Like that's fun.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, I would love if a Dalek, even just not Shakespeare as well, but even not outside. If we're talking about all of culture, right? I just would love to see like, like a Dalek having to like act out. Like a Charles Dickens like reading like somewhere like they're just like acting like Charles Dickens and like doing a reading from one of his books, you know,
like you see a Dalek doing like what Neil Gaiman does with A Christmas Carol every year on stage.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Oh man,
like a scarf.
Yeah,
there was somehow not enough Daleks quoting Shakespeare and too much Daleks quoting Shakespeare. Like it's a really weird like.
Well. I had the thought several times, but early on of like, wow, these things really hit different when you can only hear them.
Hear them. Yeah.
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 Because then it's just.
I think too, it's like, it's, you're right, Cass, but I think it has more to do with like the context of it, which is that every time they quote it, it's just the most boring version of Daleks quoting Shakespeare it could be.
Yeah.
Like it's not fun. Like they forgot to have fun with this concept. And instead they're like treating it like a tragedy. And it's like, no, this whole thing should be like Much Ado About Nothing.
Yes.
Like
should be a comedy.
It should be a comedy. Like this should be really
it should be a
silly.
Romp. Like
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know
that's what
really
I was expecting.
Yeah.
You know who we really could have used on this one, boys. You know who really would have understood the assignment is good old Mark Gatiss.
That's true. You know what? This is a perfect example of something that Mark Gatiss should have written. And I feel like it would have been better. Man.
I think he understands a romp. He would know enough to at least put a Dalek in that little circular like cone thing that Shakespeare wore. Or
oh, like the ruffle collar?
The ruffle collar, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Anyway, I don't know, guys.
Or like, you know, like it's about them displacing humans in history and appointing themselves to where they've always been the lead. So, like, let's see a Dalek be Queen Elizabeth I. Like, like watching a play in a booth, you know?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or like Caesar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being fed grapes and they just like kind of fall off of his chassis because he doesn't have a mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, the crazy Shakespeare lady like wanting to go back and watch like original
Julius Caesar.
Yeah, or the original Julius Caesar. I mean, I think she wanted to do all the plays.
Yeah, probably.
Yes, Julius Caesar. But yeah, like going back and seeing original productions of that. Like I just immediately I'm like I'm less interested in that and more interested in her owning all of these plays and then like making her like citizens put them up like for her at her house, you know, and trying to teach them how to do Shakespeare in the way that she thinks is proper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting, Scott, because her first scene is she is like delivering, you know, a lot like John Hurt in V for Vendetta. She's like delivering this speech to her follow, you know, her citizens. And you can hear her, I think it's her niece, and one of the professor guys is like, oh God, she's quoting Shakespeare, but no one knows that Shakespeare exists. So they just think that it's her words. Mm-hmm. And like,
right.
That kind of pomposity is interesting.
Just like yesterday.
Just like yesterday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cass, if you could be like this crazy gatekeeper lady and go to see any performance, musical, theatrical, like in history, do you have one that comes to mind?
I have no idea. That's so weird. That's a very weird question. I'll circle back to that and think about it the entire time we're recording the rest of this.
like Scott, if you could see like the first Dashboard Confessional show, like ever.
Oh, like so it needs to be a live show?
I'm picturing like a performance, you know?
A performance of some kind, yeah.
Like one thing that comes to mind is like to see Philip Seymour Hoffman in Death of a Salesman, you know? Or like Ethel Merman at Radio City Music Hall.
Yeah. I feel like it's like an original Broadway cast Phantom of the Opera.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. It might be the original cast Sweeney Todd.
Ooh.
Nice. Angela Lansbury.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it might be that.
What's that? This is a deep cut. Remember that David Tennant riff where he starts talking about going to see a House Martin show and it was like the best gig that he'd ever been to? Discord listeners, chat amongst yourselves. What would you do if you had this crazy lady's power?
Just clocks and mirrors.
Yeah. House of Mirrors.
Gosh, yeah. I wish I could remember the explanation, because the Professor Osric, they really go through, for something that ultimately means nothing, they really walk you through the process of like how this could work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the result of this story is basically that, the master clock is bullshit. It doesn't actually work. Which is what she calls the time travel clock mirrors, the master clock. It doesn't actually work. And all of this is happening because Charlie is the eye of the storm, because he saved her from the ship she was on in Storm Warning. Mm-hmm. She was supposed to die, and she didn't. And so now she's this anomaly that is wrecking havoc on the time stream as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
It's interesting whenever the show decides to like play with the companion's role in a show, whether it's like mm-hmm. Clara Oswald, Amelia Pond, or, you know, making them the sort of MacGuffin or fulcrum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the like early, who do you think was like the first companion where the show attempted to do that, to sort of use the companion as like almost like a plot device?
We talked about it last week. The ace stuff, I think, is like really proto like companion stuff.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like that was kind of the point of why that adventure was happening,
right?
Because it was for her personal growth.
Right.
Or as a character.
I guess to a certain extent. Romana, to a certain extent,
yeah,
like proto ace, you know, like proto modern companion.
Yeah,
I feel like Romana.
I feel like that's cheating, because Romana is spoilers another Time Lord.
right,
but
it's definitely cheating. But it's like them in the 70s doing their best.
Yeah.
They're like,
I know.
How do we make them important?
I know you've told me this a million times before, and I don't know why this won't stay in my brain. So Susan is not a Time Lord, but she is Gallifreyan, or is that part of
It's not really
explained.
Neither of those things are particularly canon in terms of like they've never
actually said canonically which way that rolls.
She's just a weird
little
freak.
People believe one thing, other people believe another thing. Mm-hmm. And we're just left kind of shrugging.
She's like a chupacabra.
Because, yeah. She's exactly like a chupacabra.
I wrote in my notes, just stuff, disparate stuff. There's a part of that really meant a lot to me where the Daleks are placing themselves in time. So they end up in Rome, and a bunch of Romans gather around it. And one of the random background guys yells, "Push it in the ditch." He's like, no. And they just shove a Dalek in a ditch. And then it's like, we killed it.
All you had to do was just push him over.
That's their secret.
That's true. Daleks. They hadn't like, this is kind of like still classic era Dalek rules. So like, they're not like one Dalek can't wipe out an entire civilization yet. Like you can just push him over and like blow him up with grenades, which is like charming.
Wait, I almost take this for granted now because I just think of them flying because that's just, you know.
Yeah.
But that is that a new Who thing? Was that like a big deal when they could fly?
Oh, yeah. Because like when, you know, in Dalek, when there's like stairs and the doctor's like, haha, you can't climb stairs. And then it like levitates up the stairs and he's like, oh, shit. And then he like runs away.
The game has changed.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. They're fully operational now.
Took them 50 years, but
yeah.
I continue to really like Charlie in this episode. Like she has fun moments of like, I don't know. There's a moment early on where she like almost tries to adopt a character for this new adventure, which is like, hello, I'm trying. The doctor's like, don't, no, you don't have to do that.
Yeah, Charlie's a little silly Weisenheimer. I like Charlie. It's just that I know how much better the next companion is, and so it's so hard for me to like get fully on board with Charlie. But I like where Charlie's story ultimately takes her in the Big Finish stuff, and I'm excited to get to that. But right now we got to wade through some. Some baffling shit.
So there's a part where this is kind of clever. So they're locked up, you know, that Cossack Doctor Who stuff, and the doctor is like, hey, don't we get like a last meal? Can you bring in some food? And the trick is they need foil because a foil is a mirror and they use mirrors to travel in time. But the line the doctor has is I could murder a cheese and pickle sandwich. And me being an American, I was like, oh, okay, like dill pickle, slice of like medium cheddar between like two slices of like white bread. That sounds like a fun snack. I don't know. Uh-huh. Yeah. But then I Googled it and I found out do you guys know what a cheese and pickle sandwich is in the UK?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
I didn't have this ready to go. So spare me a couple seconds. But
am I about to be horrified?
The truth is far darker cast than. Because I Google imaged cheese and pickle sandwich and I'm like, well, that doesn't look like what I would have imagined. So a cheese and pickle, this is via Wikipedia, a cheese and pickle sandwich is a British sandwich. As its name suggests, it consists of slices of grated cheese, typically cheddar, and pickled chutney. A sweet, vinegary chutney, the most popular brand being Branston, sandwiched between two slices of bread. The bread may be spread with butter or margarine, and the sandwich may include salad items such as lettuce or arugula. So it's like cheese and like almost like a jelly, like
cheese like and relish?
Yeah, like a preserve.
Actual pickles?
Like a chutney.
Weird.
And it looks gnarly. I mean,
yeah. I just looked it up and it looks like it's peanut butter and jelly. And I was, except that it's not.
It looks like jelly and cheese.
Yeah, it's jelly. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look good.
So
Are people in the UK okay? Like,
no. Like, no, it's funny that fish fingers and custard was supposed to be this, like, well, that's not what you're supposed to eat, you know? But.
Oh, boy.
Wild.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't know. Any other closing thoughts on the time of the Daleks? Not to make this one a short one, but also I don't really know what else to say about this one.
It turns out there is a way that you mess up Daleks and Shakespeare.
Yep.
Oh, there was an Omega name drop that I took note of. I'm like, oh, I'm learning what all this stuff means.
Time Lord lore.
That's true.
The Charlie arc, the Chark. Mm-hmm. how much of that is left? How before we get to your to the companion?
What we're dealing with right now, it sort of comes to a head next season.
Okay.
Long Way Around with Neverland and Zagreus, which are the we're covering back to back next season.
Oh, that's the big 4-hour thing we have to do.
Right. Because it'll just be too difficult to
separate,
hold on to the plot. Yeah, if we take it, if we separate them. We're gonna do those both next season. Let me look at my big finish schedule and see when we start the other stuff. We are quite a few seasons away. It looks like basically 9 more seasons before she's done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And that's doing best of, because she was around for a while. I don't know if they just thought like, oh yeah, like we'll just have the one companion, like whatever. And then eventually they were like, I mean, I didn't think it was going to last this long and we need to shift gears or something. The thing that's fun about Lucy Miller when she appears, the structure of the show changes. So it isn't in the classic Who serial style. It is in the new Who, like 45-minute single part adventure style.
Okay.
Nice.
Which is way better because everything kind of gets to the point faster.
Yes.
She looks.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, looks cool. I'm looking at her on Google right now. Kind of seems like I'm getting like young Jackie Tyler vibes.
I mean, that's definitely her deal, without a doubt. It's like if the Doctor like rode with like teen Jackie Tyler.
Oh my
that
God.
Is absolutely that's absolutely Lucy Miller's vibe. Lucy Bleeding Miller. She's the best.
Well, when I'm 41
we'll see. I'm going to look at this and see if I can't maybe trim a couple of these back.
I was exaggerating. I'm already I'll be doing like 36, a best of. 37.
I'm already doing a best of, but also like if we don't need these, then I say we skip them. There's one companion that shows up that I am tempted to just be like, "You know what? We don't need him. Let's just skip right over him." Cuz he sucks and he's bad. He is canon because the Eighth Doctor mentions him when he's like saying sorry to all of his companions in Night of the Doctor right before he regenerates. He mentions this particular companion.
Is it like
by
the
name.
Adric kid one? Like he has like Adric vibes, right? Or
I think he's an android named Chameleon or something like that. Or
No. Chameleon is
what
the
is
Fifth
it?
Doctor one.
Oh, right. No, he's an alien.
Goodbye,
thing
Lucy.
From that alternate universe.
Goodbye,
where the Eighth Doctor gets stuck for a while.
Goodbye, Dirty Steve.
Yeah, I forget what his name was. Let me look up the let me look.
I think I know what you're talking about because I think I've listened to a few of them with him in it, like mm-hmm. a while ago. But mm-hmm. yeah,
let me see. What is his name? Chris.
Yes. Oh my God. No.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. His name's Chris. I'm gonna look up and see if we can just skip right through Chris. God. Yeah.
What's his deal? What's Chris's whole thing? Why do you guys hate him so much?
He's just boring, and he doesn't really offer anything to the story. The problem is right with Chris, and we're gonna talk about this because you know this episode is already short. So
sure,
maybe we'll get some opinions. Maybe we'll get some opinions from listeners. So the problem with Chris is that he's part of the worst era of the Eighth Doctor stories, which is that he and Charlie get stuck in this alternate universe.
Okay.
Of like empty nothingness, essentially. Like it's just this weird alternate universe where things work differently, and they thought this was like a really cool, unique idea. And there's one really great episode in it. And then you meet Chris, and then there's like some like decent episodes, and then you get out, but unfortunately Chris comes with them. So in order to
like the symbiote.
Let you guys hear that entire story, even if I skipped, like we would either have to skip one of the best episodes in the Eighth Doctor Charlie run, which I don't want to do, right? Or we would go from that story to the final story, which has Chris in it, and then you would have absolutely no idea who that is, and then you would have absolutely no idea how and why he left the TARDIS.
Right, yeah.
After that, so what I might do is just like skip, and just I'll see if there's any like really absolute bangers other than that one, and we might just do that one, and then just in the next episode I'll just be like, so this is what happened.
Okay. Cool.
Between then and now, and just break it down for you guys, just to get through this, because it's Nick, I can't underestimate how rough it is. It's pretty rough. It's just so not interesting, and it's pointless in a way that is frustrating, because you're like, he already goes to alien planets. Being in an alien dimension means nothing. Like it just doesn't mean anything. Because
yeah.
he's yeah.
When anyway. Did you listen to these for the first time?
Like 2011, 2012. Back when I worked at that comic book store,
yeah.
that shipped stuff out.
That's right.
To people, the online ordering. So like I was picking orders and listening to these. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember.
And yeah, because I could work for 8 hours and just like listen to like endless Big Finish audios.
So two things,
yes.
I don't know how this would work. I would just love to see one episode of the show where there's just like a Dawn from Buffy, just like a companion that we've never met before. Ed.
I mean I can do that. I can if you guys are chill with that, I can absolutely.
Oh no, I mean
that.
Like in the real just... show, that would be a really funny
oh,
like
oh, in the real show.
Thing
oh,
to
oh,
do okay. in an episode. It'd be like, okay. Come on, Chris.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What I don't like about the Dawn from Buffy thing though is just like the show gaslights you into thinking that she's always been there.
For like weeks.
But like that, I think that works better for Doctor Who, because then it's just like, wait. Like, where did you actually come from? You know?
Yeah. Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. Right. You could. And then, I don't know. I don't know why Chris is fascinating me so much. I guess I can't really think of a boring companion yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know what that is. He like Riley from Buffy? I don't know why. Is he like just like no personality?
Yeah. I'm just going to. I'm just gonna read you the opening paragraph okay. of his character thing.
Okay.
All right. So, Chris is a I don't know how to pronounce this. I apologize. Utermezen, that joined the Doctor and Charlie shortly after they arrive in the Divergent universe. Chris lived in the Utermezen zone and was a broodling of the Third Order. He entered into the Church of the Foundation as a child and was mentored by his father, Guidance, proving to be an enthusiastic follower of the religion. His role as an adept required him to murder others in accordance with the church's teachings that salvation could only be achieved by death, having become a vessel for those he killed. He's basically like in a cult.
So he's a murderer? And
yes, correct. Yeah, he's in a cult. And the doctor's like, hey, man, you're in a cult. And he's like, no, I'm not. This is my religion. And he was like,
Sounds like a cult.
Sounds like a cult. It's bad. We shouldn't kill people.
Oh, wow. I just Googled him, listeners. I tried spelling it C-H-R-I-Z.
Uh-huh.
And it was, the Google was like, do you mean Christopher Eccleston?
Yeah, it's like K-R-I-Z-Z or something like that.
Yeah. K-apostrophe-Riz.
Yep.
Yeah. He kind of looks like Martian Manhunter.
It should be, C-apostrophe-Riz, right? Not K.
Oh, is it not K?
No. Yeah, I guess he does kind of look like Martian Manhunter a little bit. That's true. Yeah. Anyway, he sucks. He's real bad. And it's weird that that the doctor saves an alien from a cult in an alternate universe and then is like, you're riding with me, buddy. I don't understand. I think his purpose in the Divergent universe was to be able to like be their guide through it to a certain extent,
right,
and be able to like exposition, like, oh, this is what this zone is all about. They do this shit. And the doctor's like, oh, okay, cool. But then they bring him with them to back when they go back to our universe, or, you know, the doctor's universe. And then like he leaves like immediately after that. And so it's just like,
he's
I
loose.
Don't understand what the point of this guy was. Yeah. I don't know. It sucks.
Okay.
It's bad. Anyway, I don't want to do him, so I would like to skip him if possible. I will look into that and see. Right now, it seems like I probably could. Oh, right. The only reason that I'm not doing it that way is because of the timing of something else that needs to like sync up with the end of her in the Eighth Doctor. But I can figure that out. I'll figure that out. So anyway, let's try and skip
it.
We'll see if I'll see what I can do. Maybe it won't be 9 seasons. Maybe it'll be like, I don't know, 5 or something. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway. Yeah.
Shakespeare.
Time of the Daleks.
Yep. Shakespeare must be exterminated.
Yeah. Time of the Daleks is now a Doctor Who board game, which makes Googling this story more difficult than it was.
Do you mean
a few years ago?
There is now a board game called Time of the Daleks, or
yes,
this story has been adapted into a board. Okay.
Right. No, it's just a board game that is completely disconnected other than it being Doctor Who, called Time of the Daleks.
It's like Mousetrap?
That came out a few years ago. I have no idea. I looking at it, it seemed like it's one of those like ridiculously complicated board games where when the person is like, oh, we're going to play this, and then they start explaining
the
rules,
like 2 hours.
Your eyes roll back in the back of your head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love those board
it's
games.
It's one of those.
I was about to ask you that, Cass, because like, I know you love role playing, but I don't know if that extended into like...
Oh, yeah. We have like a whole board game shelf. We don't play as much as we used to, like prior to COVID, but like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You ever play Settlers of Catan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cool. The most famous one.
Right.
Anyway, Big Finish listeners, let us know. Can we skip Chris? And if so, how do you suggest we do that?
Chris. Okay. I can hear the spelling now that I know how it's spelled.
Yeah. Yeah. Colty Chris.
Colty Chris. That's Doctor's nickname. Chris.
Old Colty Chris. there he goes. Oh, Colty Chris.
Oh, he loves
what a guy.
Charlie. What a guy. What a guy I picked up, huh, Charlie?
Anyway. All right. Well,
next week we are wrapping up the Ninth Doctor.
Yes, we are. We are talking about Bad Wolf and the Parting of Ways, which is sure to be a fun revisit. So more Daleks.
More Daleks.
On the way next week. More Daleks. More Daleks. More.
I have one more note about Time of the Daleks. I just remembered this. So there's a part where this happens. The Doctor is like, "What's your plan? Why are you here?" "Oh, I know they're up to something." And I was like, it's always the same plan.
Yeah.
It's like there's like two or three just rolling around. And it's like, what are they? The plan is always to open a hole in space and have a bunch more come out of the hole.
Most of the time. I'd say there is a very distinct exception to that. Next season.
I'm so excited.
next season, when you find out what the Daleks' plan is,
it's incredible.
In the Dalek invasion of Earth, you are going to lose your mind.
Okay.
It is incredible.
I'm excited. I was getting a little tired of their bullshit today.
Yeah, most of the time you're 100% correct. That is like entirely their plan, almost always. Oh man. Sometimes they want to upgrade too. That's the other thing. That's the other thing they do. They need a thing to upgrade to the better Daleks. That's how we got the Power Ranger Daleks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which I guess just recently came back in Big Finish for the first time.
Ever. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
The Winston Churchill ones?
Yeah, the Apple Store Daleks. The eye Daleks.
The Fisher Price Daleks.
Yeah.
It was an error.
Anyway. All right. Next week, Bad Wolf, The Parting of the Ways, in which we part ways with the Ninth Doctor. Thanks so much for listening. Join the Discord if you're not in there. There's a link in the show notes. Check out our Patreon if you want to do that. Also a link in the show notes. And we'll talk to you then. Bye, everybody.